Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Karen Durante and Beau Spearham with Let's Talk.
Hello and welcome. It is Wednesday, the 4th of April. The Commonwealth Games opening ceremony is just hours away. Before we get into that, of course, we've got Beau Spearham, who is down on the Gold Coast as we speak. He'll be there for the next 2 weeks as the games roll on. But before we continue on, firstly, wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from here at our studios at West End, the Jagera and Turrbal peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge traditional owners right across the country listening to this broadcast through the National Indigenous Radio Service or on our live stream on the web at 989fm.com.au. Let's say a very good morning now to Beau Spearham there on the Gold Coast. Good morning, Beau.
Good morning, KD. How you going there?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. It's a bit wet down there, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. Like, most of us woke up this morning, but yeah, we've got some really, really heavy wind. Some of the taps were, you know, flying open and rolling over, almost lost some of the kitchen and that there. But, yeah, no, like, early start for us on the first day because of a big rain that came through this morning. But, yeah, everybody's up and yeah, we're getting ready for the next 2 weeks.
Now tell us firstly before we continue, Beau, your mob.
Oh, so, yes, Gumeroi, Kuma and Marawari, so southern Queensland and northern New South Wales, so just over the border near Gundawindi and Toomala, and then also western New South Wales near Brewarrina and Garuga on the New South Wales side, and then Western Queensland as well on the Cooma side. So, you know, very thankful to have that strong connection, you know, that's keeping the border, you know, tight and strong there.
Well, as you were saying there before, that wet weather you've experienced down there doesn't sound like it's dampened the spirits, though, of people.
No, it hasn't. Has it? If anything, yeah, it's made all the mob be more determined to stick it out and stay 2 weeks, you know, for the whole 2 weeks. So just a quick update on, so we had some mobs flying from Alice Springs last night, from Kalgoorlie. The bus from Maribor, there's two buses from Maribor, one got in last night, yesterday afternoon, and then they went back home to pick up some more mob. The bus from Warrabinda should be here tomorrow. Same thing with the Sherbourg mob. And then the bus in Melbourne that pulls up in Redfern the other night there. I dare say there's, you know, just a bit over 100 people here. And, you know, over the next 2 weeks we'll be getting more. So, you know, the camp's getting a bit, you know, filled out and looking a bit chunky, which is good. All the tents going up. I'm in the car. You can faintly, I don't know if you could hear we've got the PA out and blasting it, you know, there, so making some noise. We've got the caravan set up as well and the kitchen going, which is good. Making eggs and pancakes here this morning. All the babies are running around, which is good, you know. It's good to see that, regardless of the media, you know, trying to roll with this whole, you know, young militant terrorist tactic, you know, tagline, you know, like these families, you know, decided to bring, you know, the Gundas and the Pickaninnies, to the camp here, which is good. You know, they're all running around, screaming around, playing tag and whatnot, you know, which is good to see.
Has there been much media interest at all? I know domestically Channel 9 did do a sort of preview, I suppose, of the planned protest last week. But what about the international media contingent that's there?
Yeah. Well, New Zealand have been interested, so they're coming down sometime today. We just had a briefing on, and I think they're interested in coming down. In terms of the international media, for now, speaking to us, but I guarantee you, you know, when we set up across the road here, on the opening this evening, you know, the international media will be there for sure. And Channel 9 and 10 and every other, I think, you know, mainstream broadcasting, you know, station and TV channel and newspaper will be there. You know, just, you know, I don't think Channel 7 will be there, have the official rights to to the games, and I think they're only just going to, you know, promote the games and the good spirit that they, you know, believe that the games are going to be, you know, portrayed, and so they're not going to show us. but obviously it's about, you know, that international spotlight and that conversation. But, you know, like I just mentioned, where these mob travel from, and, you know, some more mob, you know, come and, you know, that's sort of what we want to get, that discussion, you know, get that national discussion back up about, you know, treating about, you know, what's actually going on in our community, so we can, you know, strengthen those ties more, and then, you know, move forward with that there. But, yeah, you know, just looking good, you know, NRTV and that they're interested in coming down today. 3CR in Melbourne and Noongar Radio and all those other, you know, all the other mobs, you know, around the country have been ringing up and chatting with us and, you know, sending their, you know, their hellos and that there, which is good.
Now, this is not like your first demonstration that you've been involved with. Certainly, apart from G7, this is probably the next biggest
platform. Definitely, like, yeah, well, like G20 was only 8 days, and that, you know, and that, you know, like I guess, you know, for the time, you know, like that was the biggest, I guess, demonstrations and action that I've been involved in, especially for, you know, 8 straight days. You know, now it's 10. It's 2 weeks of protesting that day, you know. And the dynamics are different as well. You know, they have way more police officers and military here. Like, one of the things that, you know, we wanted to ask the media and also, you know, the official organisers and the police, you know, how much do you spend on your budget? You know, because in one of the articles that SBS did last week, they mentioned that they have the military, they have AFP, they have police, and they also have private security, you know, so that's, you know, 4,000 to 6,000, you know, all up together that they have, you know, which is around the same numbers, but, you know, they've got more tech now, you know, they've got, you know, machines that shoot down drones and, you know, these heavy, you know, militarized vehicles as well. You know, like, they've been driving around here on their motorbikes, all morning and all night, but they haven't come into the camp yet, which is good. Because that keeps, you know, the mob spirit up as well, in terms of, you know, nothing going, no interactions from them fellas. But yeah, you know, this is in terms of, you know, me being involved in anything, this will be the biggest so far. It'll be, you know, 2 weeks of, you know, protests and discussions, you know, and as the days go on, the, you know, the amount of people being involved in what's going on here will be much bigger. And so, obviously, like I said earlier, you know, today we have the march, and tonight for the opening. And then, you know, like we have sort of three, you know, main protests that we want to do. You know, that's, you know, the medal events, and then also, you know, some of the official events as well later on in the week. But, yeah, you know, I think it's not going to be as hot, you know. In Brisbane, it was up like 38 degrees. You know, some days I think it was almost 40. You know, especially walking on the pavement there in Brisbane, you made it another, you know, 10 degrees hotter. Less, you know, we had some old fellas there marching with us. I had to jump in the cars and stuff. But, you know, it's good, you know, that we're down here. If you were here last night, all you could hear was, you know, those waves crashing out there. And that's what we, you know, went to bed to last night, and woken up by that, you know, that wind and that rain that almost tipped us all over. But, you know, we're all in good spirits. You know, we've got the music blasting, everything's setting up, and, you know, we're about to have a camp meeting as well to sort of dictate how, you know, the day's going to go. You know, the National Organising Committee isn't necessarily taking control of, you know, how camp life goes or how the protests, you know, go throughout the 2 weeks. Obviously, we have the big marches and the protests that we want to roll with, but then also the important things is getting, you know, that national perspective on, you know, what we're going to do, because we have mob, like I said, from around the country that are involved in, you know, protests and actions against, you know, uranium dumping and also uranium mining. We have mob here from Grandmothers Against Removal, from New South Wales, Queensland and Alice Springs. We have mob here from the Shut Youth Prisons. You know, so that stuff we saw with young Dylan Waller, he's here, and him and his family. You know, we have mob from obviously the embassies in Canberra and Brisbane, the war, and then also some of the FIST mob down in Sydney jumped on the bus and representing here. So there's a good representation of our people, but then also, I guess, the frontline issues that we face, you know, which are also important. But then the thing that makes it even more important is we're bringing it back, you know, to that that one, you know, main cause that, you know, got us all here, you know, to the stage that we're at now, which is the Commonwealth, you know, which is, you know, the discussion. You know, we all need to, we all articulate our struggle very, very well. But it's, you know, even vital and even more important to sort of understand how we can articulate it back, you know, to what that main cause was for our people, you know, and you know, within 2 weeks we'll see that, you know, in no time.
Do a reset and say, oh, you're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM and on the World Wide Web. Bo Spearham is with us. Bo, of course, works with 98.9 FM, but he is one of the organisers.
Protest correspondent. That's my little tagline now.
Oh, dear. And we'll come back to you. So I thought we might play some Kev Carmody for the mob who are tuning in. Hopefully you've got 98.9 FM blaring loudly there, Bo.
When I jump off, we'll put our playlist, Hottest 100. We'll play the original 100.
Ah, okay. Well, let's look, this one's Kev Carmody and Paul Kelly from Little Things, Big Things Grow.
Gather around, people. I'll tell you a story, an 8-year-long story, power and pride. The British Lord Vestey and Vincent Lingari were opposite men on opposite sides.
Vestey was fat with money and muscle. Beef was his business, broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little. He had no bank balance, hard dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Gurindji were working, nothing but rations. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand.
They picked up their swags, started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking. Back at the homestead, and then in the town.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Vestey man said, I'll double your wages. $7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land.
Vestey man roared, Vestey man thundered. You don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with them big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out while your people are hungry. Vincent said, no thanks, we know how to wait.
From little things,
Then Vincent Lingyari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, to one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. And he came with lawyers, came with great ceremony, threw Vincent's fingers for a handful of sand.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Vincent Lingyari, this is the story of something much more. Our power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand, and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Music Radio. Radiating good country.
Hey, this is Justin Moore.
Hey, this is Dylan Scott.
G'day, this is Graham Connors.
What's up, y'all? We're Florida Georgia Line.
Providing a diverse range of talk and music. 98.9 FM.
And you're listening to Let's Talk right now. Karen Durandy with you. And we're speaking to our protest correspondent, Bo Spearham, on the Gold Coast. Of course, Bo, just tell us where you're actually, this protest site is.
So the camp was set up down a spit, I think it's Doug Jennings Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a funny story to go with that as well. Yeah, so in the lead off, so talking to negotiators, council and waterways, we were, letting them know our intentions and stuff, and we were negotiating how things are gonna look, and then within the last week and a half, they hit us with a $30,000 a higher cost for the park. And we actually don't have all of the parks actually. What they've actually did, a day before we actually bumped in, was set up a big massive tent. Fence line around the whole the park, sort of like a section of the edge next to the road that we're camping at. Yeah, so like we were running around like headless chooks trying to find $30,000. I think it was 20 for the bond, and then also another 10 for the actual hire of the car spaces and some other stuff. And then it was funny actually. We had that yarn on radio last week about Crocker done an interview on NERS, and then we had that brief yarn about trying to find that money, and then after that interview actually, we got the phone call saying that developers down here on the Gold Coast that work with some of the other organisers are saying, I can check in 10 and I can find some friends to do the rest. In terms of that, the importance of having this discussion, there's more people from the broader community than the Aboriginal community that see the importance of, the gallery of Aboriginal people, but then also non-Aboriginal people as well being a part of this discussion as well. Because, if we remember in 82 and also in 2009, when our mob protested the Commonwealth Games, there was that, input and dialogue and discussion from, non-Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander mob, we've always been an inclusive people and mob. I guess that's paid off in terms of, these mob wanting to, chuck up the money for our camp and stuff, which is good. There's a bit of a headache, that week and a half, but then, the discussion changed and their point of view, you know, from the negotiators and the council and waterways. Once he said, "Oh, well, you know, here you go then," and also it's pretty sad that, you know, like, we had to pay, you know, to protest. But then also there's that question of, you know, being responsible enough to, you know, have mobs from all over the country be a part of this discussion. You know, if that means we have to do that, then, you know, like, we're going to go by that and, you know, and do that, you know, so the mob that we have, we can cater and make them feel safe about, you know, where they're camping.
Did it feel like to the organisers that the authorities were changing the goalpost on them all the time?
Definitely, of course. You know, that was, you know, the discussion. So the way that, you know, we were feeling in terms of, like you're saying, changing the goalpost, because, you know, it's nothing, you know, out of the ordinary in terms of, you know, them changing the goalposts. But, you know, we're a very resilient, you know, mob, and we always, you know, find our way to come out on top, and certainly didn't work out there, you know, so...
And certainly the support comes out from surprising quarters.
Yes. That's it, yeah.
So you're about 100 strong right now?
100 strong, I reckon 100 strong.
How much are you expecting the numbers, or how much are the organisers expecting the numbers to swell to?
I'd say around 400 in it there, I reckon. Because like we're saying, you know, there's those busloads from Cherbourg, Warrabinda, Harvey Bay, Murrumburra mob, and then also these other mobs from Adelaide. And then, you know, the mob just over the border, you know, Bundjalung mob, and then also, you know, we just got off the phone to, you know, some of them are more Brisbane Blacks mob. So later on in the week, we're going to send some buses from here up there to do some daily runs. So there's mob from Inala are coming in today, and over the next, you know, couple of days, mob from the north side, some north side Murrays. And then, we can't go anywhere without, you know, having mob from Musgrave Park coming along, you know, because that was, you know, one of the vocal, that is a mob, always will be, you know, the vocal point for our mobs, you know, when we talk about our issues in Musgrave Park, especially for, you know, for the Brisbane Blacks mob. So I was yarning with, you know, all the old fellas from the park and saying, you know, we've got a spot down here in the tent down here for you. And that goes to anybody as well, all the listeners, if you want to get down on here, you know, there are tents and there is enough food, you know, and it certainly is, you know, more room, you know, for anybody else who wants to join, you know, our camp down here.
And what support, if any, have you had from the traditional owners of the Gold Coast region?
Actually, good. You know, we had Michael Ed. He's, you know, from down this way here. He's actually at the camp here now, like when we do our camp meeting, he's going to, you know, do the welcome and stuff. And my name, Mary Graham, has been involved in the discussions and stuff. You know, and this is going back 6, 7, 8 months as well, you know, a year at that as well, you know, having discussions with TOs down here, you know, whether that's, you know, manager Ali Bunzalong and also, you know, Kumba Mary, young member from the Gold Coast here, you know, like we've always, you know, come from the standpoint of, you know, having those discussions with those mob. You know, I just guess sometimes, you know, where those yarns go, or whether those yarns don't go back up that way, you know, back to the communities and mobs. And, you know, I think that's what happened, you know, with, you know, some of the mob, you know, they didn't get that message. Their elders didn't go back home and tell them what was going on, you know, which is sad, but, you know, like, we're an inclusive camp, so, you know, if mob want to come here and have those young boys open to those things, that's what the camp's here for.
Can you explain to perhaps our listeners who don't understand why involving traditional owners is important?
Definitely. You know, like everything that we do essentially for country, you know, we can't do without the people. And that's, you know, in terms of us blackfellas, you know, everywhere we go, you know, there's always traditional owners that we've got to have that dialogue with. You know, we've got to be walked into that country right, you know. And if that means, you know, going through, you know, 3 different countries to get to our destination and talking to those mob, that's what we've got to do, you know. And like I said before, you know, we yarned with, you know, Mananjali mob from around the Bow Desert area, you know, Kumba Mary and Yugambeh mob from Logan River down to this way, and then also the Bundjalung mob, so the Tweed, so the border there, you know, and that was, you know, to get the okay, you know, and that's something that our mob have always did, you know, since you know, the beginning of time for us mobbers. We always had to get that okay, you know, from the mob. We never came from the standpoint of just going in and setting up, you know, because we always was taught right, you know, to go by the way that the elders, you know, and the mob wanted us to get through. And, you know, that was one of the main things that we wanted to do, was talk to them elders. You know, and the majority of the time, we're not going to get along. I say, you know, we're not going to agree. You know, but then also, you know, not agreeing is a part of actually, you know, getting that dialogue and discussion going, you know. And that's part of the friction that sort of needs to happen to sort of get that, you know, discussion and dialogue going as well. It's all right not to disagree. It's all right to always disagree. And that there, but, you know, it's the important thing is having that discussion, you know, and knowing the two different point of views that we're coming from.
So, what's the main message that is there one from the protest group? I mean, you're calling yourselves the Stolenwealth Games protest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. I guess, and having it at the Commonwealth Games, I mean, people mm-hmm. talk about it, oh, well, it's just about sports. Well, actually, no, it isn't.
Mm. Well, definitely, you know, the reason why, you know, it's called the Stolenwealth Games is because of, you know, there's the vast amount of, you know, lands and territories that the Empire, you know, took forcibly, you know, hundreds of years ago. You know, and when we talk about our mob, you know, it all began 230 years ago down there in Botany Bay in Sydney, you know, and it's sort of keeping that discussion. You know, like I said before, we have many mobs representing many different issues, but it's, you know, getting back to the point of where it all started. You know, if we can all articulate, you know, well enough in our own ways of what the central root cause is, then we'll have more of an understanding of how our message is and where we want to come from. You know, and it is that point of view of, you know, Australia and also the British Crown has made, you know, the biggest amount of money off of, you know, the lives and off of the dispossession of our peoples and destroying of our lands. You know, we're sick and tired of this happening, you know, like, you know, we need to be compensated for the stuff that, you know, has happened to our people. You know, we need to be reassured that, you know, you know, these things that, you know, are never going to happen again. But, you know, we're occupying force, they always have an army, you know, and a policy in terms of how to treat people. You know, we know the treatment that our people have continued to get from, you know, the Australian government. And that's why we're here. We're here to say that, you know, for everything we've done to us, we've survived. And we're still here and we're always going to be here. You know, any international event you're going to have, we're going to be here to remind the world, but then also to remind you. You know, because it's not that common, you know, to actually go and, you know, have a conversation with, you know, a non-Aboriginal person. I've never met an Aboriginal person before or a Torres Strait Islander person before, you know, but they certainly have those point of views and of how they want to see, you know, our people.
Yeah. Look, and certainly one would have seen, you know, particularly when, you know, through Facebook posts and stuff like that, when the story on Channel 9 featuring you and Ruby talking about the Stolenwealth Games protest.
Yeah.
They, I guess you expect that sort of blowback from people who don't understand what you're doing and think that Indigenous people get too much benefits. But what about for mob who perhaps question, you know, the effectiveness of you know, protest now, you know, in this era, as opposed to those early days of the 60s and 70s?
Well, you know, like, you gotta look at, you know, what happened, it was like 2-3 years ago, you know, the West Australia government was assured, you know, by the Premier, but then also had the support of the Prime Minister, they're going to shut down Aboriginal communities. We saw, you know, major cities and regional towns get out and protest and stop that. You know, everything that we have as Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people, you know, were never given to us. You know, we always had to fight, and sadly, our mob always had, you know, sadly, our mob died on the front line to be where we are today, and that's continuing to happen today. You know, we saw what happened, you know, a few years ago in Dondale and in Alice Springs. You know, we saw what happened, you know, in the youth detention centre all over the country, but in particular the one in Perth where, you know, there's young fellas being held in solitary confinement for over a year. We haven't seen the day, you know, the light of day. Now, we still, you know, are still talking and discussing about these deaths and custody that are taking place all over, you know, all over Australia. You know, in the first 2 months of this year, we had, you know, two Aboriginal men die in custody. You know, there's still a reason, you know, to protest. You know, there's still a reason to get up and fight.
Yeah.
And there always will be. You know, because we have, you know, an occupying force that's occupied by the way military. You know, and there's always going to be, you know, a point of view, you know, coming from us where, you know, yeah, you know, like it's you know, there needs to be an end to this, and especially the trauma that our mob faced. There's lots of reasons to continue to protest.
Well,
you know,
just recently too, I mean, we heard recently about that Aboriginal woman who gave birth alone in a correction facility
in
Perth. So
yeah.
That news, I guess, has filtered throughout the camp.
Yeah, no, it has. It has, definitely, you know. And there's a community in Western New South Wales where my mother comes from, Barona. They actually want to use that as a dumping site for uranium, you know. You know, yeah, you know, these things still continue to happen.
The cuts keep coming.
Sorry?
The cuts keep coming.
Definitely, yeah, the cuts keep coming, yes.
Now, I know that you were going to...
I'm talking now.
..going to have a yarn with Uncle Coco there very shortly. So
yeah, he's here.
He's there?
Yeah.
Okay, no worries then.
Yep. Oh, chuck him on here. Yeah, 1 second now, I'll just chuck him on here.
You're listening to Let's Talk. We've got Coco Wharton with us. Good morning. How are you? You sound like you lost your voice there already.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me there?
Michael Aird. Yes, Michael Aird here.
Oh, hello, Michael, how are you?
Not too bad.
That's good. Michael is a member of the Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, but Michael, you're there in what capacity today?
I'm just visiting and supporting the protesters and just come for a visit.
All right. And it looks like Gold Coast weather hasn't dampened the spirits there in the camp?
It's a little bit moist, but there's a bit of sun out at the moment, so that's good.
Right.
Ground's not too wet at the moment, but a bit more rain, it'll be a bit boggy.
And Michael, that's your traditional country around there?
Yes, it is, yeah. So my family have been here for a long time, yeah.
And what does it feel like to see a mob like this come here, gather on your country to, you know, I suppose let the world know that you know, there's still some unfinished business here in Australia?
Well, it brings me back to, you know, when I was a lot younger and the Commonwealth Games protests were happening in 1982 in Brisbane. And I think that was sort of my first real lessons on the importance of protest, importance of getting messages out. And, you know, 30 years later, that legacy is still around. You know, people still talk about that event, the incredible good that came out of it, getting Aboriginal message out to the world. And so it's good, you know, to be now a lot older and seeing the same messages being told to the world, you know, all these 30 years later.
That's the downside, I suppose, is that we're still trying to get that message out there 30 years later.
Yeah, it is. It is a pity, but it has to happen, and, you know, and some good always comes out of protest, and it challenges some people and they feel threatened by it, but you know, it starts the discussion, and you know, and things can flow from that in the long term.
Well, I know that not sure if you can speak for other traditional owners there in the Gold Coast region, but are they, you know, is there going to be some more support apart from yourself? Are the mobs coming down to support the visitors from other parts of the country?
There's a lot of support, and a lot of neighbouring people are all coming. Yeah, there will be a lot of support. And, of course, there'll be a few people that are very much on side with the Commonwealth Games and on side with the Queen and everything she stands for, but that's their choice. It's not, you know, I can't see why Aboriginal people would want to support the monarchy, but that's how some people are.
What have you noticed about the police presence in the Gold Coast region? Has it been a little bit more difficult? Do you get concerned as a black fella about moving around these streets, particularly after we see what happened to that fella in Victoria there being pulled out of his home by those six coppers?
Well, I think the good thing here with this event is the fact that for at least, I think, 18 months or more now, two senior police officers have been negotiating with protesters, and there's been some really good communication between the protesters and the police. And in fact, yeah, the two main police officers were here this morning, and it was good talking to them, and they've done everything they can to try and make this happen and make it successful. So they support protesters' right to protest. That's how the laws work. If you apply, if you fill out the right permits and apply and state the cause and what the actions will be, the state government, is compelled to support protests. So I think in one sense it's good that there's been some good communication from the police, and but of course other things are happening in other places, but just here at least there's something good happening.
Oh, geez, under the Bjelke-Petersen government, that would never have happened.
No. And people like Wayne Wharton will tell you, they couldn't even get close to the games back then. It was pretty damn tough.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, look, thank you very much for having a yarn with us there. And are you heading along to the march later?
No, I'm actually suffering from a sore leg at the moment. I've had an injury, so I won't be walking. But certainly, I'll be supportive of those that do.
Don't. We might have to put you in the bus there with the elders.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Is Bo there?
Bo, I'll see if I can. Yeah, he's just here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. It's 17 minutes to 10 here on Let's Talk. We'll come back to Bo Spearham in just a moment.
Thoughts within, visions I see. Destiny. So much sorrow, heartache we have, as we comfort our children, they shed a tear. Not in vain. We must look to our elders to ease all the pain. For tomorrow is near, and we must stand as one. Together, united. We must stand strong, stand tall when your back's against the wall.
George Edwards there in Stand Strong. 98.9 FM's protest correspondent Bo Spurum has been with us today on Let's Talk. Bo, just to wrap up there, so we've got the protest march this afternoon.
Yeah, this is Wayne Warden, Coco Warden. I'm filling in for Bo. Closing off for Bo.
No worries, then.
Morning, everyone.
Morning good, you. Good. So tell us, how are you feeling? This is like how many Commonwealth Games now you've been protesting at?
This is the third one.
Third one for
the
you.
Whole day. Third one. So this is, first one was back in 82. And we finished the march. We started in 82 yesterday. So when we started the march across the border in 82, which yesterday was when we actually finished it.
So it's kind of some memories then, reflections yesterday.
Mate, people got to remember what we were living under in 82. We were still living under the Act. You know, we're under... We had to wear dog tags when New South Wales was still under the Act. You couldn't go into the communities. You know, Joe Bjelke-Peterson was the boss. The police inspectors, we were getting locked up, 400 and 500 each day. And, what had happened is that we got the world's attention and we were able to smash the Act. And it was a young Bob Catter. He was a junior minister that took up the challenge for Aboriginal people and in the National Party and actually changed a lot of things. And, if it wasn't for the whole world and the people protesting back in, I don't know, we'd probably still be under the crap that we were under.
So which way? Is he still a friend, a colleague, a supporter at all? You're not expecting him to turn up there to the spit
Bob
or what?
Bob will turn up anywhere there's a camera. But he's one of those fellas. But we've got a big deal. There's a lot of kids down here, a lot of people down here. The news from the world around here, we've got English news, we've got talks of Prince Charles coming down, wanting to have talks, so he believes in a republic and treaty, these are the things that, by having people out here and the dialogue going on, this is the conversations that happen. We got a big march this evening and another march to on Saturday morning, so we're still wanting people to come down, and the big Saturday morning march is a big one. And we've got the whole world here, so we want to make sure they get the right story and not the wrong one.
Yeah, yeah. How does it feel like going into your third one? You just talked there a bit about some of the positive things that are happening. You think you're going to be as effective as you were in the previous protest at Commonwealth Games?
Well, there's a lot of people, a lot of my brothers and sisters that aren't here, but their daughters and their nieces and their nephews are here. And it's a good feeling, you know. It's a good feeling. It's a bad feeling that we've got to do this. But it's a different feeling. I guess one of the big things back is that they're seeing the nieces and the nephews and the sons and the daughters. We've had people come down from the Territory, from Yarrabah, from Cairns, from Dallas, from Melbourne, Adelaide. There's a lot of other bloody veterans that couldn't get up from Melbourne or Sydney, and they're very ill. Robbie Thorpe and the Thorpe family and people that have been in it. And there's a lot of people that they couldn't get up, but they've sent their sons or their daughters or their nephews and nieces. And I think, these type of marches, campaigns take 10 days, 15 days. There's a lot of different actions. And, we're welcoming people down here.
So for mob who can't come along for whatever reason, whether it is because of illness or work commitments, that sort of thing, what kind of support would you like from them?
Well basically, we're looking for water. Any sort of help, if they can donate water or some money, either to one of the places on the embassy site, or if they can get in touch with the... just take the time to write a letter to their local member telling them that we want a treaty or we want a an agreement, or we want proper recognition of Aboriginal ownership to this land.
Well, it's fairly straightforward, that message.
Yeah, well, it can't be. People think you've got to jump up and down and do it, but if people took the time to write a letter to their local member. We've got the Greens. We've got four states talking about treaties now. Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, and South Australia, and Northern Territory. And they're allocating budgets of $5-6 million for the first stages. Now, if we were talking about treaties back in 92, you got Noel Pearson and the Dodson brothers and the nutty Professor Marcia Langton kicking us all out of the bloody meetings. They'll come here talking your sovereignty treaty shit. We're talking ATSIC here, we're talking native title. Now, 10, 20 years after, we've got five states that are willing to fund a proper debate and proper talks about treaties, about sovereignty, about proper ownership. We should be the wealthiest people in the world. Just because we're black fellas doesn't mean we're poor. We don't know our children, our families. We should be the most well-off people in the world. And I won't stop, and other people won't stop until our inheritance is recognised and we get the proper recognition and the proper position that we should be. We weren't born and given this country to be poor. This position, our economic position, is a position that the colonialists, through their government and through their regimes, are committed to keeping us impoverished, to keeping us poor, and keeping us locked up and incarcerated.
Yeah, look, appreciate you taking the time there to have a yarn with us this morning, Uncle Coco. So today, what time that march this afternoon?
We're starting the bus out to the stadium at 2 o'clock, and we'll start the march at 4:30. But we're welcoming people to come down and camp over the weekend and join us for the big march on Saturday morning.
And where's
where
that?
We walk into surface paradise.
Okay.
You've got to remember all these people on the Gold Coast, they've never seen blackfellas before. We want to walk straight into the surface tomorrow on Saturday, and we want them to see the biggest mob of blackfellas walking down there, telling them who owns this land.
Okay, then. Thank you very much for your time. And, if you can donate towards the cause, water or write a letter to your local Member of Parliament.
And just look up the Brisbane Sovereign Embassy page and they'll get in touch with accounts and people's contacts.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, we'll keep the station updated and upgraded all the way through. And Bo's, give out Bo's number or my number. 0408-064-900. Any of our white listeners, we're out there, we're trying to get hold of a truck driver. We need a truck driver urgently, a semi-trailer driver, to bring a stage down from Kingaroy down to here before the weekend. And we'll pay to help him out with petrol and diesel or whatever. But it's a prime mover, and he's got to move a flat tray from Kingaroy down to here. So we're looking at a lot of the, we understand there's a lot of truck drivers out there that listen to the station. We need your help. Give us a hand. Give us a call, 0408-064-900.
806-900. So
0408. Yep. 0408-064-900.
Okay, 064-900. Thank you very much. Good luck with everything.
Okay, good luck. See anybody. Bye. Love us.
Black girl, won't you love me tonight? Won't you come over, darling, make everything right? Black girl, won't you love me and then come over, darling, and love me. I know, I know. it's hard for you, and you know, darling, it's hard for me too. I know, I love you true. Come over, darling, say you love me too. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me? And then come over, darling, love me again. Someday, someday, we'll be alright, just like it is on this shiny night. Someday, someday, we'll have it all, 'cause you know, darling, you make me stand tall. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me? And then come over, darling, love me again. So love, so love, won't you say you love me? We'll be together eternally. So love, so love, won't you love me? And then come over, darling, and love me again. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me tonight? Come over, darling, make everything right. Black girl, black girl, won't you love me? And then come over, darling, and love me.
From the Brand New Day musical, that was Black Girl by Dan Thornton. Well, that's it from me today. You've been listening to Let's Talk. Our thanks to our guests, Coco Wharton, Michael Laird, and our protest correspondent, Bo Spearman. We'll do it all over again tomorrow from 9.